Today's reading is Daniel chapter 4, and that starts on page 740 of your Bibles. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, Chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from it, from under it, and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump of the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. And you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. Because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power, as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Dan. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at Euston Church, and it's really great to see you. A special welcome to you if you're new here at the 3 p.m. Please do come and say hi afterwards. Please do keep your Bibles open in Daniel chapter 4, and keep your outlines open as well. I hope they'll help you to follow along over the next few minutes. Now, a few months ago, you might recall that over here at the 3 p.m., we had a seminar run by Open Doors. Open Doors, if you don't know, is a Christian organization that seeks to raise awareness about the persecuted church. And the fact that all over the world today, millions of Christians suffer for their faith, with many risking their lives to follow Jesus. It was a sobering session. I remember one of the slides that was put up on the screen showed a world map, color-coded, with countries with extreme persecution in red, and countries with very high persecution in orange. And let's just say, there was a lot of red and orange on that map. And so on the map, you have places like North Korea, where Christians are systematically carted off into prison camps. There's Afghanistan, where converting to Christianity is punishable by death, and many other places like that. Now, at the end of the seminar, we spent some time in our tables praying, and at my table, I recall we prayed for our brothers and sisters in these countries, that they would keep trusting in Jesus. We also prayed that they would continue to be courageous in sharing the gospel. But I remember one other thing we also prayed for was for the people who were persecuting our Christian brothers and sisters. These extremist regimes, authoritarian rulers, secular governments, that God in his mercy would allow them to hear the gospel and that they too would repent and one day follow Jesus. And you know what? I have a bit of a confession to make, because maybe it was because we had just sat there for 45 minutes listening to the plight of God's people, but as we were praying for that, I distinctly remember a part of me struggling to believe that God was capable of answering those prayers. That Kim Jong-un would one day repent, that members of the Taliban would one day turn to follow Christ. And so if you were anything like me at that point, you might wonder, were we wasting our time praying to God about these powerful earthly kingdoms? Is God powerless to do anything about these strong human rulers? Now, while sometimes we might struggle to believe this, today, Daniel chapter 4 wants to persuade us that no, it is not a waste of time, and no, God is not powerless. Because today in Daniel chapter 4, we're going to be hearing the story of a man. We've met this man before, King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, not only the single most powerful human being on the planet back in his day, but also when it comes to people likely to repent and follow God, well, this would have been the last person on anyone's list. But the incredible surprise of this chapter is that by the end of our time today, we are going to see Nebuchadnezzar converted, singing praises to the Most High God. Now, the point of this chapter is a simple one. The reason the story is here, it is to remind us that while earthly kingdoms, human rulers, may seem all-powerful, unstoppable, chapter 4, verse 17, Daniel tells us that there is a Most High God who rules even over the kingdoms of men. And in this Most High God, he will exalt the humble and lowly, verse 17. But verse 37, he will also certainly bring down the proud. And it's knowing this truth that we see both at the start and at the end of our chapter, this is meant to lead us and all people everywhere to humbly worship the Most High God. That's where we're headed today. Now, friends, how does Daniel plan to persuade us of this? Well, today, Daniel is going to do this by sharing with us what might be the first ever Christian autobiography, a personal testimony of how God worked in one man's life, transforming him from a proud and cruel king to a humble worshiper of the Most High God. And so let's hear the story, shall we? We're at point one, and we'll pick things up from verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in the bed, the fancies and visions of my head alarmed me. Now, as we said, this story comes to us as a personal testimony written from the perspective of King Nebuchadnezzar. In this testimony, Nebuchadnezzar speaks about a pivotal moment in his life, one which begins with a frightening dream. Now, just like in chapter 2, in response to receiving this frightening dream, Nebuchadnezzar, he calls in the experts. He consults the wise men of Babylon, the magicians and enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, in the hope that these human experts can help him make sense of the dream. However, by the end of verse 7, surprise, surprise, just like we saw in chapter 2, again, we see that these human experts, they are unable to definitively say what the dream is about. So verse 8 to 9, Nebuchadnezzar, he turns to Daniel, chief civil servant, to interpret the dream. Because as we saw back in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is someone who has God's insights into these mysteries. So verse 10 to 18, Nebuchadnezzar goes on to tell Daniel about the dream. He says, in my dream, I saw a giant tree, a tree so strong, so tall, it was like a skyscraper reaching the heavens. And this tree, not only was it strong and tall, it was also beautiful and fruitful. So fruitful, in fact, that it was like a self-sustaining ecosystem with all the beasts and the birds finding food and shelter under this tree. In the dream, however, I saw a watcher, a messenger from heaven. And in verse 14, this watcher, he chops down the tree. Now, verse 15, the image strangely changes from that of a giant tree being axed to a person. A person who loses his mind and who is instead given the mind of a beast for a set period of time, 7 periods. So verse 18, Daniel, tell me, what does all of this mean? Now in verse 19, Daniel hears this, and he's the one who's now alarmed, because Daniel understands what the dream means. And he now has the unenviable task of breaking the bad news to a king who, over the past 3 chapters, has not received bad news very well. Now in verse 20 to 23, Daniel eventually, he does interpret the dream for the king. And so he says to him, that you, O king, you are that giant tree in the dream. Are you the one whose kingdom and dominion has become strong and great, like the great tree? But in verse 24, the Most High God has made a decree. And just like the giant tree was chopped down and reduced to a stump, and just like the person in the dream who lost his mind and was reduced to an animal, verse 25, so too will happen to you. There will come a time when you will be cut down. Your mind will be taken from you. You will be driven from among men. You will dwell with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox until the allotted time has passed. And Daniel explains to Nebuchadnezzar that none of this is random. There is a point that God is trying to make to you here. Verse 25, God wants you to know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And knowing this, verse 27, the Most High, he calls you to repent. He calls for you to break away from your sins and to instead practice righteousness. And friends, as we pause here for a minute, when we look at this opening section, again we hear, don't we, that familiar repeated drumbeat of Daniel. We've seen this in the first three chapters, and we'll keep coming back to this idea over the rest of the book. That while earthly kingdoms and human kings may seem so strong, so powerful, Daniel wants us to know that there is a Most High God in heaven who is stronger, more powerful, and who ultimately rules over the kingdoms of men, giving it to whom he will. Now, most of you know, well, I have a four-year-old son, Chris, and Chris, he is really into Lego. Okay, so a couple days ago, Chris came running into the room, very proudly telling me, "Papa, look what I made! I made a Lego city!" Here's a picture. And I thought it was quite impressive. What do we have here? We've got buildings, we've got animals, we've got trees, and we've got cars. And I didn't notice this at first, but if you look really closely, there's even a little Lego king sitting on a Lego throne. Isn't that funny? And friends, I thought I'd share this with you because when we look at this opening section and Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that is the picture I think God wants us to have in our minds when we think about who rules. Because as impressive and strong and powerful earthly kingdoms and human rulers may seem, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, Kim Jong-un's North Korea, the Taliban's Afghanistan, or even Starmer's UK, Trump's America, sees China, Daniel tells us that when the Most High God looks at them, he sees tiny Lego king, tiny Lego kingdom. Tree in his backyard, which he can cut down if he chooses. Lego kingdom, which he can sweep off the table if he wants. Because the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. That's point one. Now, some of us might be hearing this and wondering, well, Dan, that's great, but isn't all of this that we've looked so far, isn't this just chapter 2 rehashed for us? How is this any different from what we've heard so far in Daniel? Well, in the next section, this is where I think we come to the unique contribution of this chapter. Because in the next section, Daniel, not only does he want to show us that God rules, well, here Daniel also wants us to know how the Most High God exercises his rule, how he operates in this world. And here we see that the Most High who rules brings down those who proudly oppose him, but exalts anyone who humbly worships him. And this is where we continue with the story. We're at point two. And so after having heard Daniel's interpretation, in verse 29, we fast forward in time. 12 months have now passed, a whole year. And we are now having a nice evening stroll with Nebuchadnezzar on the roof of the royal palace. And it's as Nebuchadnezzar looks out on this vast, sprawling mega empire of his, that in verse 30, he declares, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" But in verse 31, we're told that before Nebuchadnezzar can even complete the sentence, while the words were still in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, declaring to Nebuchadnezzar that the kingdom will be taken from him, that he will be driven out, made to be like an animal, until the allotted time has passed, until he comes to realize for himself that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And it's in verse 33 that we see the immediate overnight reversal of fortunes for this proud king. When Nebuchadnezzar is transformed from most powerful man in the world to this. This is for all you visual people among us. Here's a famous painting of Nebuchadnezzar by English poet and painter William Blake. You can go see a print of this at the Tate Britain. And it's quite a striking image, isn't it? Especially when you think about who this person is or was before all this. Now, people like to speculate about what exactly it was that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, whether it was a psychotic episode or some other strange medical condition. But whatever it is, the thing Daniel wants us to be clear on is not so much what Nebuchadnezzar suffered from, but who is ultimately responsible. Verse 32, it is the Most High God. He gives kingdoms to people, and he is the one who can take them away, because the Most High rules. In verse 37, we see that one key way the Most High exercises his rule, it is by humbling those who walk in pride. He humbles those who proudly oppose him, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. But as we read on in verse 34 to 36, just as we saw that God is able to humble the proud, well, in verse 34 to 36, we are also told that the opposite is equally true. And that while, yes, God will humble those who proudly oppose him, incredibly, the Most High will also exalt all who humbly worship him. Now, we see this in verse 34, where eventually, just as God declared through Daniel, after the appointed time, eventually, Nebuchadnezzar lifts his eyes to heaven. He regains his senses. And what eventually happens, it is nothing short of amazing. Because here we see Nebuchadnezzar, the once proud and mighty king, or here we see him humbly begin to worship the Most High God. Verse 34, he says, I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Humble worship. In verse 36, we're told that God responds to this by mercifully restoring Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 36, after Nebuchadnezzar humbly submits to the Most High, we're told that the Lord restored him. His mind, his kingdom, his majesty and splendor. And furthermore, still more greatness was added to me. Humble worshiper, exalted. And again, if we can just pause here for a moment, I wonder, can you see why this section would have mattered for God's people? For God's people living in exile, a small and weak minority, surrounded by proud rulers, impressive institutions, forces in our culture that seem so strong. You can imagine, can't you, how it might be hard to believe that God could do anything about those who proudly oppose him. And whether life could ever change for those who humbly choose to worship God. In Babylon, in North Korea, in London. But brothers and sisters, these verses are here to remind us. They are here to assure us that this is what God is able to do. He is able to bring down the proud. He is able to bring someone like King Nebuchadnezzar down on his knees. He's done this before, and he will certainly do it when the Lord Jesus returns again. And more than that, God is also able to lift up the one who humbly worships him. And friends, that is good reason, isn't it, to keep humbly worshiping the Most High God. Which brings us to our last point, because how does the story end? What is the response that this chapter is calling for? Well, have a look with me at verse 37, last verse. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Very quickly, our last point. And so looking at the last verse, the punchline of the story, do you see the response that Nebuchadnezzar is calling for? Well, here is a call to praise, to extol, to honor the King of heaven. Here is a call to humbly worship the Most High God. And if you've had your Bibles open, you've probably noticed that this is a point which Nebuchadnezzar really wants us to grasp. Because not only is this the punchline at the end, well, no, this response has also been very clearly fronted for us right from the start. End of verse 2. Knowing what God has done for Nebuchadnezzar, verse 3, this is meant to lead us to humbly worship God, to say of him, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. And you know, an interesting thing about this chapter is that not only is this a response that we as God's people are called to have, in verse 1, we are also told that this is a word to all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. And we haven't really mentioned this in the series so far, but one interesting feature of the book of Daniel is that when it was first written, Daniel was written in two different languages. Many of us will know that much of the Old Testament, including books like Daniel, were written in Hebrew. However, one lesser known fact is that there are some small portions of the Old Testament which were written in another language, Aramaic. And Daniel chapter 4, interestingly, sits within a section of Daniel written in Aramaic. Now, why is this significant? Well, scholars have debated this, but I think one thing which scholars have pointed out is that while Hebrew was the language of God's people Israel, Aramaic, however, was the language of the Babylonian Empire, and therefore the language of the world. These are words which have been understood by all people, everywhere. Which I think supports the point that Nebuchadnezzar is making in verse 1, that here we find words which the Most High God wants all people, nations and languages, that dwell in all the earth to hear. Now, this, I suppose, has some implications, doesn't it, on our evangelism? That what we've heard today, it's not just something for us as Christians to live by. No, this is something that all people need to hear. And so let's keep holding out this word to others. Let's keep speaking about our Most High God who rules. And friends, let's also keep speaking about these things with confidence. Because if God can work in someone like Nebuchadnezzar in this way, well, surely that should give us some confidence as we speak to all our friends, our family, about Jesus. And because this is a word for all people, well, one other thing is that, friends, if you are seated here today, and perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a worshiper of this God, well, first of all, we're really, really glad that you're here with us, and we do hope that you keep joining us at Eastern Church. But friends, if that's you, can I appeal to you? Having seen and heard all of this about the Most High God, the Most High who rules, can I urge you to humble yourself and worship him? And will you really take this seriously? Because here in Daniel chapter 4, just as we've seen in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel also points us towards a future day when the Lord Jesus will come. The Lord Jesus, who has been given all dominion, all authority, all power, Jesus, who will one day certainly bring down the proud, but also exalt all who humbly worship him. Shall we pray?
Dear Lord, we thank you that we can come and hear your holy word in the book of Daniel taught to us today. We thank you that we enjoy relative freedom from our leaders in the United Kingdom. We remember our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer under restrictions of leaders who have deluded themselves that they surpass your almighty power. It pains us to see their suffering, as well as that of non-believers also suffering under such arrogance. But we thank you that as you've made clear in this part of Daniel, whether somebody rules with great power is entirely by your holy plan. How wonderful to be reminded in this part of Daniel that when you deem the time to be right, you will humble even the most powerful people in this world. We lift up such people who wield what seems like unstoppable control over the destiny of those under them. We pray they would follow this example of Nebuchadnezzar in coming to humbly acknowledge you rightly. You do according to your will among the host of heaven. None can stay your hand or say to you, "What have you done?" All your works are right and your ways are just. Those who walk in pride, you are able to humble. We especially lift up to you the leadership in Syria at this time. In the ongoing changes, it's reported that 125 fighters for the Islamist-led government and 148 pro-Assad fighters have been killed. Would we remember that whilst it is far away from the day-to-day lives of most of us, each of these people lost is a soul precious to you and a man or woman made in your image. We pray for Bashar al-Assad and Ahmed al-Shara, the interim president for the Islamist-led government. May you humble both their hearts to submit to you. Whilst it may seem like there is little hope of peace in this situation, would we remember all events happen only according to your plan? Lastly, we want to pray for our mission partner, Robin. Thank you for her ongoing commitment to bring the light of Jesus Christ to students in Auckland, New Zealand. Thank you for the opportunity that University Club Days last Wednesday and Thursday provided for speaking to students about Jesus, and for the student leader Fern's dedication to sharing the gospel there. We pray that seeds that were sown this week in the hearts of students there would grow into genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we especially pray for good fellowship among students in the medical fields. Would they be able to support each other in following Jesus within the unique challenges that life brings? We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.